Good morning, beloved ones.
Good morning.
You look just wonderful. I really can feel and see your radiant light. Turn to someone and tell them, I see your radiant light. I see your radiant light. You can turn that down. Yes. Wonderful. Well, I'm glad to see so many people here. Maybe the word must have gotten out that we were talking about hell and the devil and, you know, all good things, because it seems to be packed in here, and that's great. But actually, we've been having some fun, or maybe I should say I have been really enjoying our look into some of our long-held biblical basics or biblical beliefs that most of us grew up hearing. And that's a wonderful thing to know that you have some foundation of belief and thought. Now, I just want to say that I'm not, you know, when Jesus brought a new message or a new testament to the people of his day that sort of departed from what they were used to hearing, they were very upset and thought that he was trying to do away with the law. So, and he said, I'm not trying to eliminate the law, but I am trying to fulfill it. So what I say is, as we go into some of these biblical basics and beliefs that have been long held by us and taught to us, and as we begin to look at them, I'm not trying to eliminate them. However, I am trying to fulfill them, to bring you to a deeper or a new understanding, a new thought, a deeper perspective, or another way to look at them. So we want to be open and receptive. We're looking at these things now through a new lens. And what we do in New Thought or in Unity is we try to look through the metaphysical lens, right? And metaphysics simply means beyond the physical. We go beyond the literal to the underneath, the underlying essence of an idea or a thought. So that's what we're looking at, the metaphysical lens, to see how we can now view some of these teachings and beliefs in a way that will enable us to now apply them to our lives in a very practical, up-to-date, real-time, fulfilling manner. Because that's what it should be about, right? Practicing these principles in a way that our lives are enriched and transformed and touched. Not through maybe a concept that we just know about and it's on the shelf someplace. So that's what we're doing here. Now, we've already had an opportunity to look at angels and devils, right? And we've uncovered that, you know, where the devil is kind of in here. We've also last week spent a lot of time covering the burning concept of hell. And hopefully we have a new understanding of what that process is all about. And so it stands to reason, it's natural that heaven also should have its day, right? And so today, you know, that's what we're here to do. We want to look at heaven, the concept of heaven. If we got to examine hell, we must have a heaven. So if there's anything that you ought to have learned or gleaned by now, if you have been coming to this particular ministry or any other New Thought ministry or church, is that everything amounts to and is the result of consciousness. You know that by now, right? You've heard that. So everything amounts to and is the result of consciousness. So we're not going to debate the literal truth of these concepts, but what I want you to do for now is to be able to see them and hold them as states of consciousness. Right? States of consciousness within us. Because after all, we say life is consciousness. We can debate the theological premise at a later date. But right now, we're going to look at these concepts as states of consciousness within us. Because we can experience angels and devils and heaven and hell right here and right now, right? In our own state of mind. That's the truth, right? So once we have that, we can then be open and receptive. So let's see what heaven has to bring us this morning, because after all, who would not want to experience a little bit of heaven? Is anybody here who would not want to have the experience of heaven on earth, right? in their experience right here and now, I take it that we all would, even though you all seem a little uncertain and unsure, but trust me, you want a little heaven. So I thought we would start with Jesus' clear-cut statement that is found in Luke 17, 20 through verse 20 through 21. And I'm reading from this big old Bible, but it's the contemporary comparative Bible with the NIV, New International Version, the New King James Version, the Living Translation, and the Wonderful Message. I know some of you may be trying to have gone to the bookstore. It may not be there yet. We're still working. Is it in there? Okay, there are a few copies in there. So, what I thought I would do is I'm going to read just from the New International Version and the New Living Translation and the New King James. So it says, once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. And then from the New Living Translation, one day the Pharisees asked Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? Jesus replied, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or over here, for the kingdom of God is already among you. And in the New King James Version, it says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say so, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, that sounds pretty clear, doesn't it? I think Jesus was quite clear. So I think it's safe to say that we ought not to be looking for heaven in some place in the sky. You know, sometimes I get when people go, oh yeah, the man upstairs, and I always go, what particular cloud is God on? Where is this man upstairs? It's clear, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is where? Within you, amongst you, all around you. And he doesn't say, so if it's within you, he says that we shouldn't be necessarily looking for outer signs. You can't look for it in the sky, or maybe even after, you shouldn't be looking for it only after you die. Because he said that it's within you. Right here and right now. So it's as a place, or perhaps more appropriately as a consciousness, a state of consciousness within you. And we can access it now. We can access it right now because both he and John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus, who foretold of his coming, both of them would say, John the Baptist at the end of his ministry and Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, they would say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is where? At hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You can't get any closer than your hand. It's here and it is now. So we can experience it in the now moment. Now, this whole concept of repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, we're going to talk a little bit more about next week when we jump into some sin and punishment. Because that should be a good one too. I'm going to tell you how you get out of the sin and punishment. But in the meantime, we're going to deal with heaven is at hand. So if the kingdom of heaven is within you, we know now that there must be a way to access it. And you access it in this here and in the now, not in the by and by after you die. But you may do that too. But right now is also a part of your experience in the here and now. So now that we know where it is, it's all around us, it's within us, it might help us to also understand and know what it is. What is it that we're talking about? What is it that Jesus is talking about? So I want you to know that also that I'm going to be using some, for the sake of clarity, I'm sometimes using, as did Jesus, the kingdom of heaven interchangeably with the kingdom of God. Sometimes there's a slight difference, but for the most part, they can be interchanged. Now, Mr. Fillmore, who's the co-founder of Unity, said this in Revealing Word about the kingdom of God. He said the kingdom of God is the Christ consciousness, or it is the kingdom of heaven. So we use the kingdom of God to define the kingdom of heaven. And then when defining the kingdom of heaven, he says it is the realm of divine ideas producing their expression, right? Or it is perfect harmony. Because what God creates, friends, is not just the literal things, but it's the energy and the substance and the idea that lies in back of everything. God is in back underneath everything, right? So divine ideas, because everything that comes into creation starts first as an idea. Even in God's mind, let there be and there was. As within, so without. So he says this, Mr. Fillmore says that the kingdom of heaven is the realm of divine ideas producing expression or perfect harmony, or the kingdom of heaven could be a state of consciousness in harmony with the thoughts of God. So I like this one. The kingdom of heaven could be defined as the state of consciousness in harmony with the thoughts of God. Now, the scripture says what God speaks is, my thoughts are not your thoughts, right? My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are what? Higher than your thoughts. So it's not that we're going to have higher thoughts than God's, but it says that when we are in the kingdom of heaven, we are in harmony with the thoughts of God. That we find a sense of resonance and connection with those high thoughts of God, the vibration of God as peace and love and light and all the other attributes of the Spirit. And we can be in harmony with that. And when we are in harmony with that, we are in that state of kingdom of heaven consciousness. Then he says that it is simply the realm of pure ideas, or the kingdom of heaven is everywhere present. Now, I thought about my definition for it, and here's what I would say. And speaking of the kingdom of heaven, I would say that it is an expanded consciousness elevated to the highest level of thought and feeling, where we have the realization of our oneness with God. You can't get any higher than that. You can't have any greater experience than that. I'm going to say that again. The kingdom of heaven is an expanded consciousness, and it is a consciousness that is also elevated at the highest level. It's expanded, elevated at the highest level of thought and feeling, where we have a realization of our oneness with God. When you recognize that you and God are not separate, when you recognize that it isn't God out there and you over here, but that kingdom, the presence of God is right with you, the breath you took, the hands and feet and hat, the body, it's all God, then all of a sudden you are in that high state of consciousness, in the kingdom of heaven consciousness. So when we're in this high state of consciousness, of thinking and feeling, we are no doubt in our Christ consciousness, right? We're in our Christ consciousness, or our highest spiritual self, our highest spiritual awareness, our highest spiritual consciousness. And in this state, when we are in this state, everything then is working together for our highest good, for the highest good. When you are in the state of Christ consciousness, or the kingdom of heaven consciousness, or the kingdom of God consciousness, everything then begins to and is working for a high purpose, the purpose of God. And then we become the instruments or the vessels for the flow of the divine ideas or divine powers or divine expression. Follow? Yes. So what we should be seeking then is we should be seeking ways to elevate our consciousness, right? Ways that which we can actually tap into these pure ideas of God. Because divine ideas are full and whole. They are eternal. They cannot be destroyed. Once you have an idea, you can destroy the thing, but you can't destroy the idea, right? The things will come and things will go. Manifest realm is temporal, including this body, but the idea in back of it is eternal and cannot be destroyed. So divine ideas are so powerful, and if we could catch them, Mr. Fillmore said, ooh, you want to try to catch a divine idea. because they're everywhere present. So if we could catch them and hold them in mind, in our mind and in our consciousness, they will produce an ever-expanding goodness and harmony and a multiplicity of blessings. Because that's what they do, right? A divine idea is so, so very, very powerful. So if you think about this, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that the good we are seeking is present, because Jesus said it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He didn't say after you die or after. He said it's here now. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So we want to try to figure out how do we capture these wonderful, the realm of pure ideas, right? That's what God gives us. You know, we always ask him, can he give me a Lamborghini or can you give me a whatever? He's going to give you the divine idea of what that Lamborghini represents. And then you go take that idea and manifest the Lamborghini. See, sometimes, remember, we talked about God not being a great big Santa Claus in the sky, right? But the giver of all good things, and the things that God gives is the substance and energy and divine ideas behind the things we desire. So we've got to begin to catch these divine ideas, which are so powerful. So if you're ill, you want to catch the divine idea of health and wholeness, right? Because healing lies within the divine idea of health, right? If you're broke, you want to catch the divine idea of abundance, because prosperity lies within the divine idea of abundance, right? If you're maybe lonely or feeling disconnected from life or separated, you want to catch the divine idea of love, because connection, the sense of belonging and relationship lies within the divine idea of love. We've got to catch these things. The point is that divine ideas are very powerful. They are the starting place for manifestation. They are the starting place of your manifestation, and they are the starting place of God as the source of all you desire, right? They contain infinite fulfillment and expression. Infinite. This is why Jesus was so adamant when he said, look, seek ye first the kingdom of God, the kingdom and the realm of all the things of God, the ideas of God, and then all the things will be added unto you. Within this kingdom of God, or within the kingdom of heaven, lies an abundance of good, the abundance of God in the form of these divine ideas, which will contain the infinite ability to bless you, to expand your consciousness, to expand and bless your life when you use them, when you seek them, when you catch them, when you hold them, when you live in them, when you think and move and have your being in the ideas and presence of God, boom, the blessings come. So this is powerful stuff. Think about the pure realm of things like love and health, right? Abundance and joy. And here's the thing. The more you can think about these divine ideas, these qualities of being, the stronger they begin to grow in energy and in vibration. The more you can hold them, as you catch them in your heart and mind and you hold them and you meditate and ruminate and you just feel and imbibe them, the more you do that, that vibration then begins to say that these ideas must manifest and they must multiply. They manifest and they multiply, because that's the effect, friends, of a divine idea or the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven idea. It grows, it evolves, it grows exponentially, it expands. Heaven is always expanding. That's the nature of it. So when your mind is stayed on God, your good must manifest and multiply. That's the thing. When my mind is stayed on God, my good must manifest and multiply. Let me hear you, friend. When my mind is stayed on God, my good must manifest and multiply. Because that's the key. That's the key. Jesus said this. He said, look, in my Father's house, and by now you know that a house represents what? Right. In my Father's house, there are what? Many mansions, many rooms. So first of all, in my Father's house, in the consciousness of the divine, of God, whatever, in my Father's consciousness, there are many rooms, many levels. And he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you can be. So I'm getting ready to work it out. Later, I'm going up to a higher level. Don't weep for me, in essence, he was saying. I'm getting ready to leave, but don't worry about that because I'm getting ready to move up into another level. I'm getting ready to move up into another room in my Father's house. And I'm preparing a place for you so that when you get there, it'll be ready. And then I might move on to another one and a higher one and a higher one. So this is what it is. There are so many levels in God awareness that when we lift our consciousness up to perceive them, we get to experience them. And the good news is we can do it because Jesus, as the Christ, paved the way for us to enter into this high state, to enter into this place, this consciousness, right, that he achieved and that we can also follow in his footsteps to achieve and even greater and go beyond. That's what he said. So I take him at his word. So I don't see why it seems to be so strange for some people that we would even say this, because that's what he said. I don't know. See, friends, there's always a higher perspective that we can hold in any circumstance. Our task is to seek it or to discern it and then rise up to it. And certainly prayer and meditation are very key in allowing us to do that, helping us to rise above the fray of this world. However, I also think there are other things that we can do. Because when we begin to pray and meditate, what we're doing is we are synchronizing our mind, our consciousness with our higher selves and our Christ consciousness. And when we begin to synchronize so that we're thinking in one accord, not my God, we're thinking in one accord, allowing the only one true thought of God to be in us, what will happen is we will find ourselves able to bless, to heal, to transform, to elevate any situation so that harmony and peace and love and joy and abundance, or whatever the fruit of heaven is, to become manifest. That's what Jesus did. That's what we are being called to do. So here's some things I want you to practice. Practice asking yourself, especially if you're in some kind of challenging situation or circumstance, I want you to ask yourself when you're in there, what is the highest perception here, right? What's the highest perspective here right now? What is the highest thing I can do? You may want to do a low thing. But ask yourself, what's the highest thing I can do right now? What's the highest thought that I could hold? You may want to hold some other thoughts, but ask, what's the highest thought I could hold right now? What's the highest good for all concerned? We are always to look for the good. Look for the good. Praise it. Bring it out. You know, you've heard that phrase, keeping the high watch. We're looking for the good. That's kind of keeping the high watch, even though keeping the high watch is usually associated with prayer. But prayer is elevating your consciousness, right? So why not use this keeping the high watch to watch your thoughts, to watch your consciousness, to see where you are, to be aware of and conscious of the quality of the thoughts that occupy your mind? Because I would tell you, if you really stop and begin to look at your own mind and the stuff that runs through, you would shock yourself. Because sometimes it runs through and we don't acknowledge it. We're not aware of it. So I've been doing this thing for myself, playing sort of like a little game with myself, because I want to be able to catch myself when I'm in a negative pattern of mind or a negative state, like I'm judging people or whatever. So I do it in a very playful voice. In my head. So if I find myself judging someone, I go, judging. Or I might say, ooh, comparing. Or I might say, uh-oh, complaining. Or sometimes, you know, it could be overanalyzing. Or when the ego gets in the way, I can say, ooh, ego games. And I do that and I sing it and I say it. Or if I'm making up a story, you know how we make up stories to scare ourselves about what we think is going on? I go, ooh, you're telling a story. do it in this playful manner and high voice because if you do it in that serious way, then we feel guilt and we feel bad and we feel shame, and then you're not going to want to look. You're not going to want to learn. So I don't get down on myself. I make it, you know, I got that from when we play cards and stuff, and there's a little thing that my mother and a couple of my friends say when we win a hand, we go, winning, you know. So it helps me, and believe it or not, I'm able, because I'm keeping it light and not judging myself, I'm able to really catch it and make it fun. And then what happens is I'm in a better state that I can either let it go, whatever it was, I just let it go, or I can bring some grace and ease into my interactions with people or the situation so that I'm able to forgive and release. And, you know, I'm not just making it so important. It's like, oh, you know, judging. I just release it. And it is a very powerful thing. Another practice that you can do for expanding your consciousness, because heaven is what? It's about expanding and reaching these many rooms, these many levels, these many mansions, and evolving into higher and higher, higher states of understanding and growth. You can ask yourself this. It's a powerful question to ask yourself. What would my best self look like? What would my best and highest self look like? What are the qualities of being that I would express when I'm being my best and highest self? Right? If I could change myself today, what would I show up as being? How would I show up in the world? What kind of person would I be? And then after you've kind of asked those questions and gotten some answers, you might want to do this. Pick some of those qualities that you've just identified as what would your best self look like. Pick some of those qualities that you've identified and then begin to practice expressing them. So if your best self, because if you think it's you, but I can't do it. No, but your best self. If your best self would be, you know, kind to people, then okay, then practice kindness for that day. Or if your best self would be tolerant of diverse opinions and ideas, then practice for that day being tolerant of diverse. So you would just practice what your best self would look like. And maybe you could even write it down, the best self, describe it, write all those qualities down on a card in a paragraph so that you could read that throughout the day, every day. This is what your best self would look like, and go for it. I mean, how would you really show up the best of who you are? How would it show up? And then read that card and those qualities every day and seek to express maybe one or two of them. Because surely if you begin to do that, you're going to grow and expand and evolve into that innate blueprint of the divine you that's been planted in you, through you, as you from the beginning of your beginning. You'd begin to do that. So heaven is at hand, but where is that? Your hand. It's in you, closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet is the presence of God within you. So you just keep lifting your eyes toward the highest and the best that is within you, and you will begin to bring heaven upon earth, or the best and the highest into your experiences, into your life. So I say, remember this, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. There's no condition, no circumstance that the spirit of heaven within you cannot transform, bless, heal, renew, and restore. So I say, keep the high watch. It's heavenly. Blessings. Blessings. Namaste.